knock, open up the door, it's real. Hit the non-stop, pop out from stainless steel. Go hard, getting busy with it.
BT and Sal back on the fan. The road to New Orleans on the fan is sponsored by Bet365 and powered by Verizon. And BT, we got a couple of weeks, although I won't be here the next few days with you to discuss this. We could have some fun with talking about it now. Chiefs and the Eagles. We went over the fact that, you know, we're kind of exhausted by the Chiefs at this point, but we do have a great matchup. And the more I think about this, and we'll have some fun talking with Booney about it, Aaron Boone, when he comes in studio with us in a couple hours, big Eagles fan. I know he's been at the last two playoff games here. I'm starting to get the feeling that the Eagles are going to win this game. I think they're better. Outside of the most important things, head coach, quarterback, I think the Eagles are more well-rounded than the Chiefs.
Those are two pretty big things, though. That's why the Bills never really beat the Chiefs when it matters, because of the quarterback and the head coach advantage. Let me ask you this here, Sal. Yeah. Do you think there will be more Eagles fans or Chiefs fans descending upon the Bayou? I always find that interesting. Like when I used to go to Final Fours all the time, like a Michigan State or a Carolina, like some of these fan bases that really just take over the city. You think there's more red or more green?
It's a great question. I know ticket prices are absurd. What do you think? I was talking to an Eagles fan at work. By the way, there's like a million Eagles fans now everywhere. Brunson, Carl Anthony Towns, Boone. I work with five guys at SNY that all love the Eagles. I just don't understand it.
Unless let me ask you this, though. If Ty Detmer, was it Ty Detmer or Coy Detmer? Yeah, one of the Detmers, right?
Right.
Or even Peterson, who played before McNabb. After McNabb was drafted, he actually played a little bit Peterson to start. If those guys were still the quarterbacks and they were a 3 or 4 win team, you think they're rocking Eagles gear?
Probably
I'm not saying
not.
They're not Eagles fans.
No, but that's,
you know.
That's kind of my point. And the Eagles have been one of the more successful franchises in the NFL over the last decade or so. Imagine that after losing Andy Reid. But back to your point, tickets to get in. Take a guess.
To
what
get in the lowest.
Last seat.
Top tank?
Yeah.
1,500?
Dude.
More?
5,800.
Are you serious? Delay?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. That's
you were a little low,
off.
But yeah, 5,800.
Meaning you basically touched the roof for the Superdome.
Yeah, to get in,
man.
One of my buddies like, I'm not going to go because you went to the last Eagles one that they won, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, you start to get the itch. As well. I was like, oh, what if we did go? And you're talking about 5,800 to get in, not to mention the hotel, flight down
That's
there.
That's a $15,000 couple of days, depending upon who you take.
Would you do it? Assuming you had no hookups, would you do it for the Jets?
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking about that. I honestly don't think. I've been to Super Bowls, and I've been to probably, me and Tiki used to go every year. Not always to the game. Sometimes I want to come home early.
How many
when
games?
The kids were first born. Three, maybe?
You've been to actual three games. Okay.
Yeah. I would say if the Jets were in it, I don't think I could watch a game like that. No, I can't. I couldn't. I know I couldn't watch the Jets that way. I couldn't. Like, you have to go to the bathroom, which you're going to, because you have a couple drinks. You know, who knows what you miss, and the just not being with my family. I know. Now, the one thing that would be amazing is if, like, I was there and the Jets won, then you take over the streets, and it's now it's a New York, New Jersey, just fan fest. It's Nuttyville, but I would watch it at home.
I've always said the best part, I've been to one Super Bowl. Francesca got me in, got us tickets. Super Bowl,
which one was it?
Super Bowl 42.
42,
first one, the first one. That they knocked off the undefeated Patriots.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, that's right. What am I saying?
In Arizona.
Wow.
And I always said the best part of going to the Super Bowl was saying I went to the Super Bowl and I was there. Other than that, like, the game itself, and that happened to be a historic game, of course, but the energy, it's not the same as a home game. It's not the same as a championship. Not even close. It's a glorified exhibition, and you have to get there 5 hours early, and you're going
in. Security.
Yeah, it's more cool to say you were there than it is to actually experience it the way that you would, let's say, a home NFC or AFC championship game.
Tailgating with your friends.
Your home crowd.
Oh,
everybody
I agree
going
totally.
Nuts. And the fact that it would cost you, you know, 10 grand minimum. I don't know if there's any way that I would do it. So all that, I still think that the Eagles fan. Now, remember, the Chiefs are going for something historic with the three-peat. But I still feel like, and maybe it's just East Coast bias, I still feel like the Eagles fan is more passionate and it means more to them.
You think they're
hungrier. Yeah, they want to beat the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs at this point, it's like, all right, what am I going to go see, a third one?
See, I think it's a little within, and I've talked about this as a Yankee fan, like when they went in, I certainly didn't feel like this in 96, and I certainly didn't feel like this in 98 when they had an amazing record. But, you know, 99, I noticed my passion, and I still watched every game, but, you know, it dissipated a bit. I'm sure in 2000, if they were playing somebody other than the Mets, it may have been dialed down. Like, I just think there's a natural inclination. The more you win, the less hungry you get. I just think it's natural. It's right. normal.
Right. So as a fan, put yourself in the Chiefs fan shoes.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you went to the Super Bowl, one of the 18 that they've just won in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And are you really going to go out of your way to go again? Or the Eagles fan, even though they had recent success, I would think maybe if you missed out on the first one, you're hungry to go again this time.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's probably close to 50-50 is really what it comes down
It'll
to.
It'll be fun. And like we said, we have a week and a half to dissect this, so I'm looking forward to doing that. The Road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365 and is powered by Verizon. Back to the calls, BT, talking about Aaron Glenn and Aaron Rodgers as well, who hope to one day be performing in a Super Bowl. Vinny is calling from Fort Myers. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning. Love your show.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Vin.
And one other thing. Good luck tomorrow, Sal.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Right. BT's wondering if I'm nervous about the card game. No, I'm nervous about my eyes getting cut open tomorrow.
I've been hearing about it for a month old woman, like a grandma.
I'm actually attacking it head on. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Make my eyes open. Okay. I'm ready for it. But thank you. We appreciate that, Vinny.
All right. What I wanted to mention, remember yesterday at the press conference, Aaron Glenn, when he talked about after his playing days for 2 years, he kind of took a hiatus.
Yeah.
And then he's watching ESPN. His wife goes, go coach, go coach. And he goes, yeah, okay. You know what that reminded me of?
Mm.
Remember Rocky II when she was in bed, it's coming out of a coma, and Adrian says to Rocky, go win.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Burgess just goes, what are we waiting for?
Yeah. And then the music starts.
Oh, gives me
it's one of my favorite scenes right there. She was in the coma for so long. You got the music, the orchestra music, and you don't know if she's going to make it. Oh, beautiful.
It gives me goosebumps even thinking back to it.
Yeah,
I like that. Good call. I like that analogy where, you could see that if, that's her.
What are we waiting for?
Such a great line. Such a great part. And you could see the look in Rocky's face. So imagine Aaron Glenn just going through the motions, kind of, and his wife can tell that, he's not really happy and doesn't seem fulfilled for whatever reason. Hey, go do that. Go coach. And here he is, and he worked his way up. He wasn't handed something. He worked his way up to be the head coach of the New York Jets. How can you not root for him? Whether I believe it's going to be done or not, and I don't because of the infrastructure, although I feel like it's a better chance than certainly some of the guys before him.
Yeah.
And but how can you not want to root for Aaron Glenn to succeed here?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Not unless if you're Patriots, Bills, or Dolphins fan, sure. But if you're a Jets fan or you just don't hate the Jets, I don't know how that didn't resonate with you yesterday. All right, so speaking of Woody, now that's the thing that obviously has to change the most because Aaron Glenn could be a rock star and Muji could be phenomenal. If Woody Johnson is still a sloppy, bad owner, then it's going to eventually unravel. Let me read you something. Tell me if you believe this. Quote, this is from Woody yesterday. Absolutely, I have to look in the mirror and I have to be a better owner. And I'm trying to be better. That's fairly forthright.
Okay.
I'd appreciate that. Then he was asked about the reports. Well, he was asked if he's going to be more hands-off in 2025. And Johnson, but himself, he wasn't asked about this, alluded to the story in The Athletic that we talked about, Diana Rossini, that scathing column. And, excuse me, really am stuffed up today, man, my bad. And he says, quote, you don't believe those reports, do you, Johnson shot back? This is still a quote. He says, it was a lot of exaggeration and hyperbole. It really was. You really have to take all that stuff with a grain of salt because you don't know how much, nobody knows how much I was involved. Yes, I want Aaron Glenn to coach the team. I want the GM to manage the assets and the players, and I'll take the owner's position. So there's a couple of things there. Does it feel, because we've talked about self-awareness, and it's imperative that he changes. He's almost 80. Can you really change when you're almost 80, that wealthy, never answering to anybody? I don't know. But do you believe that he is authentic in his convictions to try and change? Woody?
No. I mean, there are different layers to what you're asking. And I think you touched on the key part. I don't think he is aware enough in our reality, which is the majority of us, our reality is so far different than Woody Johnson. We were referencing that book that a caller brought up. I think Woody is so far gone as far as being out of touch that in his mind, he may think he's trying, but I don't think he knows what that really is. So he may have the right intentions inside. I don't believe he knows what it takes to really
You might be change. Right. You might be right. So let me ask you this, though. Yeah. This is something that I've thrown at you a little bit because I think it's a great parallel. Hopefully it's a great parallel, a possible parallel. Do you think that James Dolan really, truly changed? Like he did a deep dive of himself and he really, truly changed? Or finally hired the right guy and got the hell out of the way?
I don't think Dolan... Now, I'm not talking about the sexual harassment stuff.
Or me neither.
But I don't think Dolan was that bad to begin with. I think he had the right intentions. Dude, we wanted him to hire Phil Jackson. He hires Phil Jackson. Like, there were many other things.
I don't know if we wanted him to hire Phil Jackson as the GM. He was a coach.
Well, everybody was begging for a legitimate basketball. He wanted Isaiah out. All right, finally he got Isaiah. Yeah. I think Dolan's biggest mistake was getting sucked into the Isaiah Thomas vortex of kindness and treating James Dolan like an equal and being friendly with him and then having that relationship. I think that clouded his...
I agree with that.
Okay.
I was there every night for that, too. Okay. I think you're absolutely right.
Okay, so that's the first mistake. Now, where I think Dolan really made a bad mistake was with Donnie Walsh.
Yep, with the Carmelo stuff.
Getting involved.
Talked about that as well.
You got out of the way. Donnie was building the thing back up, and he was doing it the right way.
Yeah.
And then you had to get involved and go over the top for the Melo thing, which in turn, you didn't have to do, because it hurt the team. It also ticked off Donnie Walsh to a point where that was the end of that relationship. So, but I don't know if I would say Dolan was ever as clueless as I feel like
Woody
is. You know?
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. But the results are the results, and for an entire century, the results were basically worse than the Jets.
Right. But the turnaround is a lot easier if the person, in this case Dolan, is not as far removed from, I think, reality. Like, Dolan was listening to the fans in some ways, and also believing in what he was saying, and also knowing what he needed. And by the way, he did experience some success with the Rangers doing it one way, so maybe he felt like, okay, this is the right way to do this. And Leon Rose, he took a gamble on that, but it worked perfectly. He hired the right guy. However,
but that's why I ask you what I asked you. Did he change, or did he just finally hire the right person, and the right person just did enough things for him to finally lay out? If Aaron Glenn gets this thing humming, I can promise you Woody's going to lay out.
Right. Well, but that's a big if. So Leon Rose had that success, and maybe they were fortunate because of Tibbs in that first year where the Knicks came out of nowhere.
Talking about the COVID year?
Yeah. And they got the 4 seed before losing to the Hawks.
Yes.
Let's say that they didn't have that. I mean, they were expected to win, 17 games or whatever it was that year?
Yeah, they had much on that roster.
Right. So let's say they didn't have that success.
Mm-hmm.
You think Tibbs has
the rope, the freedom?
Probably not, right?
No, he doesn't.
So they were fortunate to have, which plays us back to the whole start of the conversation about Rodgers. Like, to have Woody give Aaron Glenn and Muji that rope, they almost have to have some immediate success so he can back off and say, okay,
yep,
I think I hired the right guys. Because I think that's probably what happened more than anything, where Dolan saw that immediate success, allowed Rose and Tibbs to build it up the right way, patiently, saw the success they were having year after year, and it's paid its dividends, so he had no choice but to sit back because they had success.
Hey, by the way, I know we're talking Jets now and Woody, but Knicks are a half a game behind the Celtics for the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference.
I have not
half
even looked at the standings.
One half game.
Impressive performance last night, no question about it. We can get to that before Aaron Boone in studio coming up at 1. Back to the Jets calls here. Michael's calling from Lancaster, PA. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's going on, guys? If you guys could just give me a minute. I hear you guys saying that the Jets are still a win-now team, and I'm not buying into it. And I'm a lifelong Jets fan.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, by them getting Glenn, is basically they are rebuilding the team, and that's what is going to happen. I mean, you're talking about they're a win-now team. They're not even a 500 team. And after watching all of these playoff games, they're not even in the same league as with these other people.
Well, then how'd they beat the Texans in the regular season? They beat them.
You really think that they could compete with the Chiefs? Really think that they could compete with...
the Bengals, the Ravens.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, Mike, let me ask you this. I guess let's get a clear definition of, you know, are the Jets a win-now team? I'll give you mine real quick, and then I want yours. Do I think even with a couple of tweaks that the Jets will win the Super Bowl or be among the elite teams next year? I don't. Do I think the Jets could or on some level should be a wild card team? I do. What's your definition?
I think that they're lucky to be a 500 team. I would strive to be 500. Forget about the playoffs.
Okay,
why?
But close to 500, Michael, and thank you for the call. If you have a 500 team, you're in the ballpark of the playoff conversation.
Bingo.
And that's where the Jets could be with the right coach. I mean, the Jets were an absolute disaster this year. Now, 5 wins is 5 wins. It's ugly, but you tell me they couldn't get to 9 or 10 wins with the right mix of head coaching, holding guys accountable with some of the talent that they have,
yep,
with Aaron Rodgers playing the way that he finished the year, being healthy fully next year.
You already know my answer, Sal. Yeah. I mean, my answer is yes. I mean, the Jets, there's a big difference. All right, so they went 5-12, obviously. You know, there's 5-12 teams who have, you know, of the 12 losses, they have 9 games where it's fairly non-competitive. You know, they lose by multiple scores, and they just get smoked. I mean, the Jets unraveled because they had no discipline and they were sloppy. And that was because of the coaching staff, which proved to be borderline inept. I think if you just, you know, I don't know that it's realistic to cut the penalties in half. That might seem a bit ambitious. But if you could slough off, you know, 25, 30%, 35% and go from literally one of the worst in the league to, you know, 17th or 16th in the league, and, you know, Rodgers' production in the second half is more of an entire season kind of a thing. Yes, I think the Jets could be a playoff team. I do.
Did anybody think the Denver Broncos would be a playoff team this year?
Nope.
In that division, rookie quarterback, you'd be saying, oh, well, how are we going to compete with the Chiefs and the Ravens and this and that? They won 10 games. They got to the playoffs. So that would be, to me, the model. Now, I'm not saying Aaron Glenn is Sean Payton, but it shows you how good or how much you can improve with a good head coach. And by the way, Glenn should even have an advantage because the Jets have talent and potentially a better quarterback, assuming Rodgers comes back, than the rookie Bo Nix.
Well, think about this, and just to finish the Denver thought, think about when the Jets season, when the schedule came out. Mm. We're sitting here like, all right, week 1 Niners. All right, that'll be tricky. You know, Aaron's, I don't have the roster and the schedule in front of me, but it was San Francisco.
Tennessee.
I was there for week 2. And then it was like the Patriots Thursday night, and then Denver week 4. We're like, I mean, they should be 3-1 minimum, like, because we looked at Denver as a team that stunk at going into the season.
And
that's
the
point.
They should have even beaten them in that game, even knowing what Denver turned out to be. But
absolutely,
come on, in the NFL, you can't tell me that the Jets can't be a playoff team. They have an explosive running back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume Rodgers comes back. They have a 4-time MVP quarterback who is better than any of the Joey stopgap options that we went over.
Yep.
They have 2 legit wide receivers with Adams. I know Adams is on the downside, but still.
I don't think he's on the downside.
Okay,
I don't.
Well, maybe in, you know.
I mean, compared to his absolute apex, he's not a guy that I look at where I say he can't be the number one.
Garrett Wilson, and then you look at the defense, the talent.
They got to get a tight end, man.
I understand, fine, but think about what we're, like, you're nitpicking here. I want better line play, yes, better run stopping, but Aaron Glenn, who's a defensive coach and going to hold these guys accountable with the talent that the Jets have. I mean, we had this argument, and we went at Tiki, whatever. I know you went at Tiki when he was saying, well, I don't think the Jets roster is as talented as people think.
Yeah.
All right, let's say it's somewhere in the middle. Tiki was right. It's not as good as people think. It's still a pretty talented roster there.
Yes.
Where the right coach can certainly turn this team into a playoff team next season.
So there's a reason why, dime a dozen, I guess, but there's a reason why a lot of, you know, respected pundits around the country who say the Jets could, Schrager, I mean, say the Jets could be the Super Bowl. Like, I think he picked them to get to the Super Bowl. A lot of people who consume this game, we do all the sports, and we consume every Jets and Giants stat, but there's certain people who all they do is the NFL, and a lot of those people thought the Jets would absolutely be a playoff team at minimum. And again, it's early, but I'll just do this in 30 seconds. I'm looking at the schedule next year. The Jets play the Browns at home next year. The Browns were 3-14. They play the Steelers. Who's their quarterback?
Win.
I'm not doing that. They play your Falcons. The Falcons were 8-9. They play the Panthers. They were 5-12. They play the Broncos again. Then they play Dallas, who was 7-10. Then I'm looking at their away games. All right, they got to go to Baltimore. Got to go to Cincy, but they play the Saints, who are 5-12. They're at Jacksonville, who was 4-13. There is a window of opportunity to improve quickly for the Jets. They just have to do it.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. And don't forget, Aaron Boone live in studio coming up at 1 o'clock.
Will you tell all your friends you've got your
way to hear you, Sal Licata, back on the Fan on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Aaron Boone live in studio coming up at 1 o'clock. Looking forward to that. We'll get back to the Colts here in just a second. So yesterday, BT, you know I had my mom in.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's my favorite licata, by the way.
Well, we appreciate that. She'll appreciate that for sure. It was nice to have her in, and you know she got us lunch, whatever. And then after the show, because I had a hang before we go over to SNY, we're back in the office, and I just like to, like, you know, chill for a little bit before I have to get it ramped back up for the next show.
Mm-hmm.
And the architect, our big boss, walks by. Now, the lights were off because I don't like having the lights because of my eyes. And I'm just talking with my mom, chilling, and I see the architect walking back with a purpose, like walking past to his office.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked real quick, and I waved, whatever, and that was it. And then today, he came in and said, hey, I heard your mom was here, and I'm a little upset you didn't introduce me to your mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask you, like, I didn't want to intrude. He was walking with a purpose. And then I'm thinking, like, this whole thing could be, like, hey, Chris, you know, my mom's here. You want to come? Like, I just felt like it was best to leave it alone and move on. And then maybe he was a little slighted that I didn't introduce him to my mom.
Yeah, I think he should be. I think he dropped the ball on this.
Really?
Yeah, dude. We have a family environment here.
Yeah.
I think he felt a little left out, a little offended.
I felt like I was actually doing him a favor.
Yeah.
Because why then? Oh, like, I'm softening him up. Like, oh, here's my mom. You can't fire me now. You just met my
that's
mom.
That's what you
like,
said to him this morning.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say.
You literally said those words in front of all of us. So
if you met, and he said it might have helped me. You meet my mom, and it's like, ah, you know what?
Yeah.
When decision time comes, maybe I'll keep you on because your mom was nice. But I didn't, you know what I mean?
I get it.
I don't want to intrude. I'm keeping it myself. If he came in, I would have said, oh, this is my mom.
I mean, listen, I think if Chris, and the architect is Chris Oliveira, yeah. I think if Chris had a different disposition and he was to himself and nobody really knew what he was thinking and he wasn't a hands-on guy and a great, honestly, a great boss. Chris is, we mess around. He's the best. And, you know, then I could say, all right, let me just kind of stay away from him. It's the exact opposite. And she sought out Boomer and Gio.
Yeah.
She was taking pictures of me and you after the show. She
but he was walking,
Ryan Hurley.
He was walking so fast by.
Yeah, he ignored the big cheese. That's your bad.
Yeah.
I agree with him.
Hoff, you think I made an error here not introducing mom to...
100%. Oh, I mean, I can't believe you did. And she was so nice and so social and everybody was so sweet to her. You didn't even introduce her properly to Tommy yesterday.
Loogie?
Yeah. He had no idea it was your mom.
Well, but I mean, we're talking about the architect, Loogie. Really, where does he fall on the pecking order chain?
But still, he would have liked to have known that. Like, you didn't do a great job with your mother.
I'm doing
yesterday.
The show. I'm not trying to do the show. I mean, come on. I don't want to intrude. I just want to. Mom is like the best intern. Interns are seen, not heard.
Although interns don't always buy food like she did,
well,
so she's a better intern. Well, why was she with you again all day? SNY. What was the deal behind
that? Because I'm having the surgery tomorrow, and mom had to come in for the week to make sure, you know, baby boy's getting taken care of.
Okay.
And because, you know, being home at the house all week, you know, it's just break it up a little bit. Get her out of the house.
What do you mean break it up?
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
You know, my wife is there and the dog is there.
Oh, so
yeah,
basically,
her just sitting around.
Got it. Give them a little space.
Well, instead of my mom just sitting around all day.
Staring at her.
Yeah.
Like the commercial. Expired. Going through the refrigerator. Expired. Yeah. There's a lot of house. I hope you can keep it clean.
Plus, she does love, you know, she loves the show. She wanted to meet you.
Yeah.
Boomer Geo. So all that. So it was a nice day. A long day.
Dude. And did she like SNY?
She did. I don't want to get into that, but
why?
The building was just, you know.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's superior. I mean,
I even like the old one by Radio City Music Hall. That was nice, too.
Yeah, or Midtown, I should say. Mm-hmm. No, downtown is just like, I mean, state of the art. The views are off the charts. And here it's, you know,
a little different.
Nice, but
we got Evan's trains here.
We're trying to clean up. We're trying to clean up here for Booney. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Back to the Aaron Rodgers calls. Gus is in Freehold. What's up, Gus?
Hey, Gus.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
All right. So, first thing. So, I think there is definitely a path for the Jets to have a winning season next year and not having Aaron Rodgers. But before I get to that, I think you guys sometimes, you know, Aaron Rodgers is definitely a good guy. You watch a lot of the stuff, so a lot of the things he says is good. But at the same time, I think he talks too much, and I think sometimes he gets in his own way. So, I think that for Glenn, I think the best thing for him is start off fresh, and kind of set his mark on the team. It's not Aaron Rodgers' team anymore. It's Aaron Glenn's team. And I think the way to do that is by building the team around the running game. I mean, they're built with great backs. And if they have that kind of foundation with the offensive line, I think they can have a winning season, 9-8, get into the playoffs, and then build from there. You know, hopefully draft a quarterback somewhere along the way.
So you don't
want
Rodgers
back? I do not wrong Rodgers.
But you think Rodgers could be a negative in this scenario?
I definitely think he could be a negative just because, I mean, so I was excited when the Jets got him. I was like, pumped. got the jerseys. The kids got the jerseys. We're excited. But at the same time, when you watch the last couple of years, everything that you see about him that you like is when he's not on the field. It's when he's on camera. But when you see him on the field and you talk about the touchdown passes, I mean, this is a league that's built for guys to throw 20 touchdown passes. Go look at the ESPN stat line. I mean,
but hold on, Gus. 20... He was 7 in the NFL. He had almost 30.
Yeah, but I mean, BT, so we watch all the games, and there was a lot of games there where he was definitely inefficient. I mean, he was missing a lot of throws.
Yeah.
Even with the Adams stuff.
But who's the better option then? Because you're right. He's not perfect. He's past his prime. He missed a lot of throws. What's your answer?
So my answer would be I would play Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, my God.
I would build
No. No.
So I would build a ground and pound kind of team. But the idea is that's not the long-term plan. The plan is to find a quarterback.
But why can't you do that with Rodgers?
Because I think Rodgers' personality he likes to talk, and I don't think he's ever going to be able to.
Here we go.
He had the same issue with LaFleur. LaFleur and him kind of got it at each other.
It took you a little while to get there, but you finally got there, Gus. You don't think he's a good fit in the locker room. I disagree.
Yeah.
I hear you.
You think he likes to talk too much. That's the problem with Aaron Rodgers. Because on the field, you can't have the kind of, like, you're telling me, you just said you'd rather have Tyrod Taylor start. Oh, like, you could also have Rodgers be the quarterback and still have a run-first offense.
Yes.
Run the football. But then when you need to make plays through the air, who would you rather have doing it, Aaron Rodgers or Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of people out there who have already moved on from Aaron. I get that. I don't agree with it. I don't, and when I say I get it, I don't, it doesn't make sense to me based on the options.
Right.
Because nobody's presented a better option. If somebody were to do that, I might be a little bit more open-minded to a change.
Yeah, I mean, at least say Justin Fields, because then there's the potential, but even that still is
the only possible name that I'm even remotely interested in. That's it.
Dominic is in Belmore. What's up, Dominic?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Tom.
My big question is that you guys haven't brought up, or I haven't heard anybody bring it up, is great if you bring Aaron Rodgers back. He's probably the best option if you want to make the playoffs next year. Problem is, they make the playoffs next year, get knocked out in, let's say, the wild card round, division round, even the championship game. Then what? You bring Aaron Rodgers back again at whatever age he'll be, 43, 44, or now you're going to a rookie and you're starting from scratch again?
Well, see, Dominic,
I think it's an ugly situation for Aaron Glenn to be in, and I'd love to see how they're going to navigate this and somehow. Usually, when a team surpasses expectations and makes the playoffs, it's with rookie quarterbacks, like young quarterbacks.
Daniel Jones a couple years ago, not true. But hold on, Dominic. The most recent example in our town, the Giants, it was the exact opposite. Not that Daniel Jones was as old as Aaron Rodgers, and thanks for the call, but, most of the opinions were already shaped on Daniel Jones, and, he had a little one bump, a nice little year, and then obviously took a few steps back the last couple of years here. But, see, where I think me and Dom and others who are just already dialed into no more Rodgers, where we fundamentally disagree, I am finding value for the rest of the building. Forget about Rodgers for a second. Now, I'm gonna go to 2026. In 2026, like if the Jets have a fun, competitive, forward 2025, and I'm not going nuts, I don't mean Super Bowl, 9 wins, whatever, just competitive, wild card, just miss out, whatever, the building benefits. They need their young players to feel what it's like to step on the field in December when you have a chance.
Also, I would argue that Aaron Rodgers is the best mentor that you could possibly get for a young quarterback. My dream scenario, and people think otherwise, mm-hmm. they just don't pay attention or they don't know.
A lot of people do think that.
Right, which is ridiculous. Just watch him or learn something about him. Read the book, watch the show. He lived through it, so he's best to do it again where he knows what Favre did wrong to him,
mm-hmm.
so he wouldn't want to make those mistakes to the next guy.
He already helped out Jordan Love, by the way.
Yeah, exactly right. He asked Jordan Love about it. Yeah. He was a mentor to him. And that was a ridiculous draft pick, or at least we questioned that at the time where Rodgers maybe wasn't happy with it. Point is, for me, and I think it's a thoughtful call where you're saying, okay, well, what if the Jets do bring back Rodgers and have success? Then what? Maybe the dream scenario is he comes back the next year and you have somebody in waiting that if Rodgers starts the season a little shaky, 7-8 weeks, whatever, then you transition to the next guy. Like the Giants did with Kurt Warner and Eli Manning. Maybe mm-hmm. that's the scenario or the setup. Alex Smith to Mahomes. You don't have the next guy now anyway.
Yeah.
So Rodgers in place as being the bridge guy is fine. Then once you get the next guy, then you could worry about the transition. It's going to be delicate, but I think it depends on where and when you get that next guy before you just say Rodgers should be gone in 2026 as well. Maybe it's best that Rodgers is the starter at least for the beginning of that year.
You see, Sal, what complicates this, there's not a clear path for the Jets to latch on to a specific plan that makes sense big picture today. Now, that doesn't mean that one won't unfold. That doesn't mean that they might not do something that we might not agree with philosophically today. Maybe they do it on draft night. Maybe they do it a week before the draft, then they scoot up and they take somebody and they actually hit it and we're lucky for 10, 12, 15 years. Or he's a stiff. All those things could happen. But right now, I look at a checklist and just a very pragmatic way of looking at how can the Jets be most competitive next season. And for me, it's with Rodgers. If there is a different course of action, I would be open to it. I don't see one.
We'll continue with your Rodgers calls when we come back. Also, have a little bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie. Remember, Aaron Boone in studio coming up at 1 o'clock. Special edition of Pull Your Cards. We got plenty to get to here. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Now, time for bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, well, bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. What do you got for us on this Tuesday morning?
Well. We'll start with you, Sal.
Yeah.
The Knicks should trade for Jimmy Butler. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth.
No, it's a bald-faced lie. I want no part of Jimmy Butler. I do think this has gotten ugly, and I want to see Pat Riley lay down the hammer here, BT. I've always liked Jimmy Butler as a player, but the Knicks don't need him right now. I also want to see him get properly penalized for the way that he's been acting. It's ridiculous that the players think they control things and just act out and force the hand of ownership or general manager. And there's one guy I wouldn't want to test. It would be Pat Riley.
Yeah.
And hopefully Pat stands strong here. You know he's going to do what's best for the organization, but that's a bald-faced lie. I'd want no part of Jimmy Butler.
Think about how far the Knicks have come, because that's my answer as well. I mean, for so many years, Jimmy Butler, all those names were so appealing. Oh, get this guy, get that guy. Now, yeah, we'll see where the Knicks actually finish up. But now the Knicks are in a spot where, nah, we don't need to roll the dice on somebody who is at this point half in and, you know, really causing a massive commotion. So definitely bald-faced lie. And, Jimmy, he's always been one of my favorites.
Yeah,
because
me too.
Of how hard he plays, and he's just no nonsense.
Tibbs guy.
He's a Tom Thibodeau kind of player. And part of me would love him at the Garden, but he's lost his professionalism the last couple of years, it seems. So I'm out. Bald-faced lie. No, thank you.
All right, well, you're good.
All right, so BT, on to you. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Saquon Barkley is the best free agent signing in the history of the NFL.
Oh, man, he can really put me on the spot here with the free agents. It's kind of hard to push back when, if he would have played a little bit more, he would have broken the all-time single-season rushing record, and he's got 550 yards in the playoffs already. I mean, I'm going to say bald-faced truth, but is there another name or two that was Peyton Manning
with the Broncos?
You know, I got to go.
Reggie White got traded, right?
Reggie was traded. Okay. I got to go bald-faced lie. I got to go with the quarterback that won the Super Bowl. Give me Peyton. It's close.
I mean, the fact that we could even have this conversation is telling.
I know.
I'm going to say it's a bald-faced truth because I really believe, although you did see the backup running back for the Eagles, what was it, Shipley or whatever, take off. I know they have a great line, which is why the running back has been so successful. I really do believe, though, the Eagles would not have been in the Super Bowl this year without Saquon Barkley. And if they do win, and I think they very easily can, it's going to be because of Saquon Barkley. The guy was a number two pick overall. We can't minimize Peyton, but at that time in the career, the neck issues. Obviously, it
his first
out.
Year, he was great, though.
Yeah, I remember. But I still felt like he was throwing ducks a lot of the time. I'm not going over Albert Haynesworth. I mean, when NFL free agents come to mind, usually the bad ones stick in my head.
Because there's a lot of them.
Not the good ones, right. But I think this is all. I'm going to say it's a bald-faced truth. Hey, recency bias, sure, but I'm going to go with Saquon on this one.
All right, finally, Sal.
Yeah.
Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. BT will ask Aaron Boone if he could take a picture of him.
Of him? Yeah, of him.
That's a bald-faced lie. I think BT's learned the lesson. Also, Boone doesn't have as much to offer as, some of our former guests that we've had in here.
Monet? I got a couple requests for Boney. I got a few things to get aside. Yeah. I usually don't pull that stuff, but I'm taking advantage today.
How about Joe the other day on the air?
What'd he do?
Now, I asked Daryl to sign some cards for me after the interview was over, right at the end of the interview. Joe, as he was sitting down, Daryl's a little late getting to us. By the time he got to us, Joe's like, hey, can you sign right on the air? I'm like, can we do that after the interview? But then go ask him to sign the bowl. But Daryl's great, of course, with it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's a bald-faced lie, though. BT is not going to ask for a picture just of Boone himself.
No, because he doesn't look like Mercedes Monet. That's what. And if you guys missed it, these guys were ragging on because like they're saying, who takes a picture of somebody else without getting in it? Well, if anything, that tells you that I'm not so self-absorbed because I didn't need to be in the picture. And the reason I took the picture, I get it. You guys could clown me on that. It's funny. But the reason I took the picture is to then, you know, put on social media, hey, look who we had in
studio. Right,
you know, I'm thinking about the show, and I would think more people care about her than me. No, I will not solo with Boney tonight.
It was
no.
just funny the way that it happened when she's just sitting there and saying, oh, can I take a picture? And she's like, yeah, sure. And then you go, click, take the picture. And by the way, can't say I blame you.
No.
And you still didn't share it with me. I mean, maybe you want to send that my way.
It's my collection.
Yeah.
I will say one thing, though. I noticed that you didn't wear a turtleneck for Mercedes, but you did for Boney.
I probably had some of the guns hanging out with Mercedes. Yeah, right.
This is Boone. I mean, it's a big deal.
Absolutely.
The beginning of maybe a Yankee bromance with BT.
I wonder if he ever caught wind of me doing those games. How he thinks of the booth work that I put up for the Yankees since I am an employee. I'm a fellow co-worker, really, when you get down to it. I'm a co-worker of Boone's.
Boone, I'm a Yankee as well. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Of course, Aaron Boone, stay tuned for that coming in studio in about an hour and 10 minutes. It'll be in at 1 o'clock. We'll have some fun with Boone and pull your card. I got it right here. 83 tops, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, and 89.
What do you think he picks?
I think he's going to go younger.
I do, too.
Or meaning?
83?
Yeah, older years.
Or 84?
Years. I think he's going to, which is your wheelhouse. You guys are the same age. I was looking this up.
We are. We're the exact same age. But 83, I feel like, I don't think I've ever pulled an 83 pack.
Those were the expensive ones. Those are 30 apiece.
Why were they so different than 84?
Because of the rookie cards. Like in 84, it's Mattingly. There might be, Mattingly and Straw were maybe the two big pulls. If I'm missing somebody, I forget. But 83 is like Gwynn.
What about Kirby? Boggs, what was Kirby?
85.
He was, okay.
Yeah, so that was one of the big ones from 85. But whatever. The guys, I'm like, dude, I'm going to buy multiple packs. You're going to give me a deal. He's like, yeah, the best I could do is like 30 a pack. I'm like, $30?
That's crazy.
For 1983
dude.
Wax pack junk. But anyway, that's why we never had it before. But for Booty, I broke out the special pack.
Then we're also bringing out some special food. We got some good food coming for Booty. We got treat him right, make sure he comes back real quick.
Yeah,
I'm going to get my, actually you texted me, I was going to get my car washed the other day.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
And
because I saw your tweet about it.
Oh yeah, well it's true. My tweet was, there's very few things in life that are as gratifying when you see that filth just wash away from your car after snow and the soot and all the other nonsense, right? So I loved it. Yeah, I did tweet that, and you reached out to me because you wanted to get your car washed. It was a busy. I had like 15 cars, but I had to navigate it. But anyway, as I'm driving down the avenue to get to the car wash, this really warmed my heart. It made me think about Boone. It made me think about what we do. You know, there were three or four kids, and one of them had one of the local high school sweatshirts on, and he played for the baseball team because it said so-and-so baseball. And they were crossing the street, and you know what they were doing? They were opening up baseball cards.
Really?
Yeah. They were like looking, they were shuffling through the packs. Probably should have paid a little bit more attention to the streetlight, quite frankly, but they were seeing what cards were in the pack. They were ripping a pack as they were crossing the street.
I mean, think about long it's been going on for, you know, however many years. I don't remember when Topps first came into existence, but this predates,
I think, the 50s when Topps.
Okay, so
that's
what I'm saying. It far predates us in the 80s.
But it went away for a while.
Yeah,
I think it's come back the last couple of years.
It's definitely up now, and it's to a totally different level right now, the collecting game is. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to the Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Glenn calls. Joe is in Glenhead. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? Love the show.
Hey, Joe. Just
wanted to bring up two quick points. I haven't heard anything about Jordan Travis, and I kind of thought, you know, hopefully he'd be like a Pat Mahomes, not to that level, but, you know, one to learn for a year and then go in. And then other than that, like, Rodgers is easily our best option considering, you know, the last 6 years have been, you know, Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold. And, I mean, people who don't think that, they're just not watching the games because, I mean, every team starts 0-0. And come September week one, we'll have, you know, the same amount of chance as any other team. But, you know, I don't know. I just think we should look at Jordan Travis a little more.
Well, I think that they are. I mean, listen, they good call. And we brought his name up before. There's a reason they drafted him despite that injury. And that was to draft and stash. It was almost like – you know, you see the Knicks used to do this, not that it really worked out, but back in the day, you know, we're talking about the Knicks earlier, like you draft somebody from a European country with no intentions to even have him really come to training camp that year, and they would call it a draft and stash. This was kind of like the NFL's version of draft and stash when they took Jordan Travis a year ago, because they knew that physically he would not be ready for the season. Maybe there was a thought by the end of the season he might be more functional, but he was not. So I don't know where he is in his recovery, and there's no guarantee he'll ever get back to what he was, but they definitely drafted him with the intention of eventually him getting a look.
No, maybe he's the guy. I don't know. I mean, how do we know the answer to
that?
We
don't know.
So why not then, in that scenario where you bring Rodgers back next year, the Jets have success, and then the following year is the year you plan to transition at some point, whether it's to start the year with Jordan Travis, if Rodgers wants to retire or you don't think he could do it, or you have Rodgers come back, and then maybe midway through the season you make the transition to Travis. Maybe he could be the guy. I don't know.
Yep.
But if he's not, then they have to find somebody else. And if he is, we got to get a look at him at some point. I wouldn't think that's going to be this year, but maybe next year.
Well, I think we would see him during the summer. I mean, I think he'll play some preseason games. I think he's going to be full go, the OTAs and stuff. Last year was the put him on ice year. This year I would think it's, all right, let's play some ball, young man, see what you got. Yeah, I mean, I still think he's very much in the experimental stage. Like, if we're talking about Aaron Glenn trying to get some wins early with Rodgers and then figure things out in year two if Rodgers retires, just to kind of change the culture and end the 14-year drought and get this thing out of the choppy waters and into calmer seas, well, Jordan Travis can't be your backup. They still need, whether it's a Tyrod Taylor type, like you need a viable backup in case Rodgers gets hurt. You can't hand the reins to Jordan Travis, I don't think.
No, we don't know, but I wouldn't recommend that for being a recipe for success. All right, we'll come back, get down with the King topic of the day. It is Aaron Glenn and Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. We'll have Aaron Boone in studio coming up at 1 o'clock as well. And your calls, 888-808-1019.